Cool Hand Podcast, something you got to deal with. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host. My name is Q. We got somebody, special guest in the building, man. I met this person through the homie Sonny. We was out there in Philadelphia, and we'll get into where I met this man at and his connection with that. But guest, please introduce yourself.
My name is Amin, aka Yellow Puffer Coat, or the Don all the time with all the shine. I'm an artist, model, stylist, photographer, you know, jack of all trades, master of all.
Yeah, this jack of all trades for sure, man. I mean, just from your Instagram, you do a lot, like a lot. I saw this dude out with, now I'm sure most of the people who watch the podcast aren't into battle rap, but like you linked up with Iron Solomon. When I saw that, I'm like, that's a big deal because that's like a battle rap legend.
Yeah, actually, that's, like, really funny because I had no idea who Solomon was, like, at all. Like, I know him as, like, Aaron just from, like, all the times, like, we've met in the shop. So when I first met Aaron or Solomon, I'll call him Solomon for the interview's sake. I met Solomon. He sold his Crate Diggers hats, like, the original Crate Diggers hat. It was, like, the navy wool one. We had that one at Lapstone where I work. So I remember one day Solomon had came to the store and he was just showing Brian, who was the owner of the store, like the new like samples that he had for the upcoming like Crate Diggers drop. I can't remember what color like the hat was for the sample or whatever like that, but I don't think it was the one that we just did recently. So I think me and Solomon like locked in. I think he found my Instagram first. Cause we had met in the store, but I didn't get like any of his like info or anything like that. So, yeah. He had found my Instagram, he followed me or whatever like that. And then, one day Brian approached me and asked me, he said, Solomon's been keeping up with like what you've been doing and stuff like that. As far as like, yeah, like your shoots with like Advisory Board Crystals and John Elliott and stuff like that. And he wants you to do the lookbook for the next Crate Diggers drop. I was like, yeah, I'm definitely into it. Whatever I can do to like build my portfolio, get my name out there, get my face up there, I'm completely fine with it. And I was like, okay, cool. We can go from there. So then I was working at the ice skating rink because I'm a man with a million jobs.
Dude is a hustler. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was working at the ice skating rink one day and Solomon had stopped by and I was like, yo, like you look so familiar. But I've only seen Solomon like 3 times in person. I was like, yo, you look so familiar. And you're wearing, like, he was wearing the official, like, Lapstone Crate Diggers, like, hoodie, the one that we just released. He was wearing the sample of that. And I was like, yo, you look so familiar. You got that, like, hoodie on that, like, for my job, and we haven't put that out yet. He was like, oh, yeah, what's up? I mean, it's me, Solomon, blah, 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 blah. Chatted it up. I met his son and stuff like that, and then we talked about it. And then from there, we did the photo shoot and stuff like that. I modeled for the lookbook. We did that at Radio Kismet, which is like a podcasting, like digital media space. So like you can record music, everything there, like the whole nine. Shout out to Radio Kismet. They're a really great place. They were really nice to us. Christopher Plant, he was a really good guy. And he never fails to not give me a compliment. Every single time I see Christopher Plant, he gives me a compliment. So I love Christopher Plant for that.
Shout out to Chris Plant, man. Appreciate you, dog. So, yeah, so you done rub shoulders with some people, man. I seen you out there with Patrick Beverly. But before we get into all of that, I watched the last podcast that you was on. Let me see if I remembered it already. Keeping It a Bean podcast.
Keeping It a Bean, yes.
And that was a great podcast. So if y'all ain't checked that out with me and Hendrix, y'all need to check that out because they probably touched on some things that we're probably not going to cover today. So be sure to check that out because that was a dope episode. I enjoyed it. So
naturally, and that was the first time I've ever been like interviewed podcast wise for anything. So it was just fun to like that he offered me like a creative space to really just be open and be myself and talk about myself. I don't really like to talk about myself, but once you get me going, I kind of get going.
Yeah, that was dope too. And honestly, I don't even listen or watch podcasts, but I wanted to make sure I was like thoroughly prepared for this. But it wasn't just research for me. It was enjoyable to listen to. So Shout out to keeping it a beam, man. But let's dive straight into some negativity because we got some things that we got in common. Because I'm watching a podcast, the Keeping It a Beam podcast, and you know we talk about music on the Cool Hand podcast sometimes, so let's just get some negativity out the way. And so you dislike Kid Cudi. I think you called him a dork or a nerd.
He's a dork.
So let me just ask you this first. What don't you like about Kid Cudi? Now I am a Kid Cudi hater. I just want to see where another hater's head is at.
So me personally, I was never really like a big fan of his music, but that didn't give me a reason to hate him per se. I thought he made okay music. I just assumed that it wasn't for me. I was really like hype off of Day and Night. I love Day and Night just because, like, you know how when you grow up and you're into like video games and stuff like that, it's on a soundtrack you hear all the time, you like it. So Day and Night was on the NBA Live 2008 soundtrack, and I was like, dog, I love this. I play this game all the time. That's my jam. I like it or whatever. But everything about Kid Cudi to me just feels like very inauthentic. I don't think that he's actually like a good person. I don't think that he is someone with any redeeming qualities outside of his art. When I ask people why do they like Kid Cudi, they see that he hums really nice. He does not really rap really well. And also just the fact that, like, to me, it's a super red flag if you constantly fall out with everybody you become friends with. Mm-hmm. Like, if you always, like, you're the common denominator in all your friendships ending, like, that's like a red flag to me. Like, you telling me that there is nobody who has ever been good to you. There's nobody who's ever treated you nicely. There's nobody who's ever treated you like family. I remember listening to Big Sean he did First Chain with Cudi and Nas. He put Cudi on that placement with Nas. Otherwise, Cudi wouldn't have had that placement with Nas. Like, and then I remember him saying, like, I remember when I put you on First Chain with Nas, and I didn't expect you to, like, turn on me like that in no more interviews. And that's just something that gets me. I'm just like, if you have, like, there's nothing redeemable about that guy. He's not a good person. And then he also did one thing that I feel like this is very a controversial statement because this is just how I interpreted it. But I feel like he faked being suicidal to sell Streaming Bullet to Heaven or whatever it was called. Because I remember the night he was on Twitter, he was like just tweeting like, oh, nobody cares about me. Like, I'm about to just do it, I'm done, blah 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 blah, and people were feeling like really bad for him. And then like the next day he drops an album link, and I was like, oh, you got, I was, yeah, like, nah, bro, like I'm like, I'm cool from there. Like, that like really just like took me from like, I was at like a 6.5 and not liking him to a 10 right there.
Got you. Okay, that's, now I appreciate all of your criticisms, because for myself, and it's nice to hear someone else's perspective, because it seems like you take it. Now I agree with you where I don't think he raps well. Like, I never, there's not many Kid Cudi songs that I've listened to that I'm like, oh yeah, he's spitting.
Yeah, he's really talking.
But from yours is more like a human aspect. I personally don't understand, and I don't want to take away from anyone else's experience, but I like to think that I can understand where people come from when they express certain things. I just don't understand how many people connect to his music in the sense of they say he saved their life. Maybe it's the hums, maybe it's the frequencies. But I try to listen to his music and I can't find where he saved someone's life at. I hope I don't offend anyone.
I feel like for things like that, like, we may not understand like which artist does that for who, you feel me? Because there's been like, I can tell you now, like, I don't think I make it through college without the documentary. Being as though the documentary came out in 2005, I started college in 2016. So, I was about to say, like, you never know what will get you through what will take you as far as it goes, you feel me? And I feel like the documentary was like something that had daily motivation to me to push through what I was doing. So really, like, I think for Cudi came in at a time for like a lot of us where we were growing up. You feel me? Cudi came in a time where Cudi was popular when I was in middle school, and he only blew up from there when I was in high school. So he was like starting out when I was in middle school, and then once I got to high school, like, Kid Cudi is like a known name now. So I have to feel like a lot of it is like when we get to high school, we value the guys that we listened to when we were there, and that takes us so far in our adulthood. Like, I can say right now, I'm still a fan of Joey Badass to this day because of, well, he's only a year older than me, but I watched his grind and growth from 1999 to Summer Nights to Before the Money, et cetera, et cetera. So you feel me? It's just like people go through things all the time, you feel me? That's your favorite artist at the time, and you grow with that artist. Of course, you're going to be like, well, this guy saved my life. Without his music, I don't know who I would be, where I would be, you feel me? It's just not for us to understand people's personal journeys.
You're right. I have more, and I appreciate your input on that. I can go on about Kid Cudi. My haterism for him goes deep. But there's one more because I want to talk about you in this podcast. One more that I resonated with in the Keeping It a Beam podcast, Post Malone.
Oh
Now,
God.
I don't mess with Posty, and I'm not calling him untalented. If I'm keeping it real, I would listen to Post Malone over Cudi.
I would like to classify people like Post Malone as a verbal freeloader because that's what they do. They try to lock in to something that they see as popular, and then they build their core from that and do what they want to do from that. I definitely would most likely rather listen to Post Malone than Kid Cudi, just because Post Malone does a lot of collaborations with artists that I like. So I won't deny that Post Malone has talent. It's just I don't like the whole I want to enter your space and then I'm going to diss your space when I get to what I need out of it.
Facts. Facts. And it is for that reason the Cool Hand Podcast does not endorse Post Malone. Because he came in a game looking like ASAP Yams. He came in a game looking like Yams on the White Iverson video. Because I'm like, oh, this dude is nice when he first came out. And I think it said like RIP Yams at the end of the video. And the hip hop community embraces him, but that's because he got the bag. You know, when you're in the industry, anybody with more money is automatically big bro. So, you know, that's some industry stuff. But I
That's
heard
not
he's a
even an
really
industry thing. That's a real life thing. If you got more
oh
money than
yes,
somebody,
that's
you
true.
automatically big bro.
It could be 5 years younger than you.
Hey man, 5'0" foreign is like 32 years old, and Pop Smoke was his big homie. So,
I forgot him. He was that was the big bro. And Fabio came in not wanting to say how old he was. Dude is in his 30s or was in his 30s when he came out.
Bro
But
lied on his birth certificate.
so okay. So thank you for speaking on that. I'm like, I gotta have somebody else other than myself speak on, especially that Post Malone dude. Shout out to Post. He's talented. So all right.
Post Malone will
so
not get a shout out from me.
I'll give his talent a shout out. I don't like his the way he maneuvered into the game. RIP Yams for real on the Cool Hand Podcast. So I first met you at your place of business. If I didn't already, shout out to Sonny for introducing us to be acquaintances. And when I tapped in this with Sonny, I had to do my J Prince tap in. He took me to a couple of different places over in Philly, and one of them was the place that you work at, Lapstone and Hammer. So and that's where we got our introduction. So you're known for fashion, you're known for curating, at least in my opinion. What's your relationship like with Lapstone and Hammer? And for somebody like myself, can you explain what Lapstone and Hammer is?
So Lapstone and Hammer is basically like It's more so we're classified as a sneaker boutique, like how Supreme is considered a boutique and stuff like that. We're just like a sneaker store for the cool shopper. Well, we try not to be too cool so that you don't think we don't care. We do care about our customers. We care about our clientele. Our relationship with Labstone is I was working at Journeys, and honestly, I didn't feel like I was passionate about what I was doing. I was always like an ambitious, goal-oriented person, and my goals for being at Journeys was for me to be a store manager. And I didn't really figure out why I wanted to be a store manager. I was just like, oh, that's like a benchmark that I can get to. Let me just work hard so I can get there. It wasn't really more so aligned with, oh, this is what I want to do in life. This is what I want to be in life. It was just like, it's a goal set in front of me, and I want to pass it just because it's right there in front of me. So, I think moving over to Labstone was just getting me closer to my passions. I wanted to be closer to streetwear. I wanted to be closer to doing like photography. I wanted to model, something I wanted to do forever. I wanted to do it at Journeys. I wanted to be a model for Journeys. And they kept telling me, they were just like, well, you got to connect with this person. You got to get in with this person. You got to keep buying stuff from the brand and keep posting it until like they notice you and stuff like that. And I was just like, okay, but that's like something we tell our customers. Like, I'm actually on the inside. I should be, there should be like some sort of like form of like communication where I get there. And I'm not saying that I wanted my spot handed to me, but it was just that like I can't even get my foot in the door because that's a level of access that y'all don't want me to have. So I was like, okay, let me figure something else out. So when I got the Labstone, it didn't go as planned. You feel me? Like when I got there, everything was basically about, oh, this is your job. You come here to work, help the customers, and that's pretty much it. Like you don't have any say or vote of command and whatever else we got going on, no special projects, nothing like that. I couldn't do photography because photography was already a job. That's a warehouse job. That's not even like an in-store job. That's a warehouse job. Like I'm working in store. I can't get that job. I'm not qualified for it. So it was just like I'm there for like I want to say like a year where I'm just feeling like, did I really make the right decision? Like I feel like I'm kind of like wasting away. Like I'm just here, like I'm getting fits off and stuff like that. I'm talking to people, connecting or whatever like that, but it's just like I'm not really seeing like the difference between me being here and me being at Journeys. It's just my job here is just like a little bit more peaceful. Like it's a little bit laid back, it's a little bit more relaxed. I ain't gotta worry about hitting like a certain goal or whatever like that. I ain't gotta worry about chasing down customers to see like what they need or anything like that at the door. I don't have to greet within 5 seconds. Like I just be personable. I can be myself. I can let those interactions flow naturally as opposed to it being forced. So I think it took like me meeting like Bryant, who's our social media guy, and really like standing up for myself. Like I really had to like, yo, like I like to do this. I know we have to film content for the store so we can like do like reels and stuff like that, but this is what I'm here for. This is what I like to do, and I want to be able to do it. So if there's any way that I can be able to do that, let me know what steps I have to take to be in that space. And my first shoot was with John Elliott. I also did Nike ad placement for ACG and Advisory Board Crystals, and that's how Advisory Board Crystals came to be my favorite brand. Just being able to do like that first shoot, and then oh, I'm really interested in what they have going. Let me research the brand and really find out what I like. So right now, like my role is still more like I'm still more like I'm an associate, but now like I'm actually like more involved in the process of like modeling. My feedback is more so valued. There's more we can do from a creative standpoint where like we can do like pop-ups and stuff like that, like my coworkers do. We have like events and parties and stuff like that. So I feel like we definitely have like reached a point where now like things are getting to be a little bit, it's starting to work itself out.
And when did you start working at Lapstone and Hammer?
I started working at Labstone on December 1st, 2021. I remember because I told Journeys like I was leaving in 2 weeks, and my first day was December 1st. So that's the only reason why I remember that, because it was the first day of the month.
Got you. So I just wanted to ask that to get a gauge on, the progression from when you started working there and wondering, if you made the right decision to where you're at now. And a big part of that, as you mentioned, was taking that initiative. Have you always been like that, or do you feel like the circumstances made you really step up the way you did?
I feel like it's circumstance too. Like, it's always in me, but sometimes like I'll let the time bide until like I can't deal with it anymore. You feel me? Like, I feel like I don't have a problem with stepping up for myself, but sometimes like it's me not seeing when is the time to step up for myself. You feel me? Sometimes like I let these opportunities go by and not knowing like, oh, that was kind of like your window right there. That was like your opportunity right there. To now, I'm at a point where like every step, every move I take now has to be more calculated. It has to be more thought out, because I can't afford to keep taking risks and keep taking risks and just letting things pass me by.
For sure. All right, so we're going to get back into what you do creatively. I think some of the things that you've already accomplished, be it just through Lifestone and taking the initiative and putting yourself out there, like that's a lot right there. But you also do some other things. But I want to take things back a little bit to your upbringing. So are you originally from don't y'all like to say North Philly is the only Philly or something like that?
I'm not one of those people, but there's
Okay.
definitely a lot of people like that. North Philly is the only Philly that matters. There's no such thing as East Philly. You're either from North Philly. I feel like North Philly, West Philly, and definitely like Southwest are like people who are like really territorial. South Philly, definitely people who are territorial there, but South Philly is kind of like they like to keep to themselves.
Got you. So are you from the north, the
I'm from
south?
North.
Okay, so you're from the only Philly that
North Philly,
matters.
North Philly, North with a F.
North Philly. So I'm gonna keep it real, bro. When I think of Philly, I think of some wild stuff. Like I don't think of like a lot of positive things, and maybe that's.
No, that it's definitely like that. I mean, I feel like it's definitely become like a negative like stereotype to be from Philly. Like, everybody is just gritty, dirty, and angry all the time. Like, that's just like the basis of what you think a Philly person is. But we're really nice people. This is a really good city. It's just I feel like there's people like that everywhere. Like, where like you're going to get like that reputation of like, if all you meet is negative people from New York, you're going to assume everybody from New York is negative. If you meet
Yeah.
only positive people from Arkansas, you're going to think everybody in Arkansas is positive just because they're nice people to you. You feel me? So it's stereotyping that like I wish we could break the mold from, but I don't think that's going to happen, because the most famous people from here are negative people.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this though, like seeing paying attention to your IG, paying attention to like Sonny's IG. Y'all really be like outside moving around the city doing stuff. It really shows me personally, as somebody who's only been to Philly that one time, just a different side. Like, okay, I'm sure y'all heads on a swivel, but at the same time, like y'all do be moving around. Y'all ain't, you know what I mean? Like it ain't just dirtiness all around. So what was life like growing up for you, just as a youngin' coming up in up in Philly?
More so like how I said on like the podcast, like I was more so like I'm a only not a only kid, but like I was the only boy growing up in my household. So I really was an in the house person, homebody. I like to go home, play video games, and also went to a boarding school too. So me growing up at a boarding school was I was at school all the time. I wasn't at home like running the streets and stuff like that. You feel me? So that was just like my thing. Like, I had friends at school, and then when I went home, it was just me in the house, because I didn't know nobody in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like when I grew up in North Philly, so like, I had friends in North Philly, But when I moved to West Philly, that's when I started going to boarding school. And when I went to boarding school, I'm like, I'm not home 5 days out of the week, so I don't have time to get to know people in my neighborhood. I'm not going outside just talking to strangers. I'm not one of them type people. Like, I was really like to myself, I didn't really like meeting new people, and I'm shy too, so it's also like harder. Like, I have social anxiety and I'm shy, so it's like harder for me to really like get to know people unless people like approach me. I think me leaving Girard College like really helped me with my social skills, because when I went to public school, that's when I had to get to know people in the neighborhood, because my school was around the corner from my house. Like, I'm talking walking distance. I would get there in like 2 minutes if I walked. So I feel like that really helped me. I don't think I'd be the person I am now if I didn't leave Girard, just because like I had to learn so much on the fly, learn like who I am and stuff like that. And I was like 10 when that happened. So like a lot of people who had a head start on like their social and communicative skills, they already had to one up on me as far as like being in the streets, whereas I came in at 10. I'm book smart and I don't know two licks about what's going on out here. So definitely like I was just like quiet child in the house all the time. Like, we're a middle class family. We lived in the Breslin apartment homes on 46 and Walnut, a very dangerous neighborhood. But I didn't really see most of that because I was at home.
Got you. And you did mention that on the last podcast that you were a pretty, academically gifted student. So, when did, because it's safe to assume that you're, a bright person, but sometimes the smart kids don't have the creativity. And when I look at your Instagram page, when I look at what you're doing, when you're, putting together these outfits and even just the jewelry selection and the buttons that you put on your fitteds, like you are a creative person. So did you always have that creativity, or is that something that you had to grow into?
I think I've always had that creativity, but doing it with fashion was something I had to learn, because I wasn't into fashion growing up. I was into shoes, but I wasn't into fashion. I was into shoes because, like I said, I like basketball. That was my thing. I love basketball players and stuff like that. So I was always like up on what's the newest like basketball shoe and stuff like that. But I was never into like fashion. Still to this day, I will say like I'm not really like a designer person, but I do like do my research and do a little bit of my studying, just because I feel like that's like quality information to have. So I feel like also too what helped me was Girard College provided so many resources for me to learn and really hone like my crafts. Like, I was a student who drew a lot, painted a lot and stuff like that as a kid. And like I talked about on the Keeping It A Bean podcast, is I went from having all the resources in the world, art class every single year from first grade to seventh grade, to I'm in public school now and I hadn't seen a art class from the moment I reached public school all the way up until I finally started college. And I don't think I would have seen that either if I hadn't chosen a graphic design major. So it's just things like that, like you don't really like think about, like, because no one else sees the value in something like art, because that's not a world that they grew up in. That's not something that's menial to them. If we can't communicate how this makes us dollars, then why do we need it? And that's exactly how they view all art programs. And that's something that I feel like, one, I should fight harder for other people, not just for myself, because I do think that's an important cause.
Got you. Okay. So you mentioned fashion is something that came along a little bit later. So even when you were a youngin', creatively, was there anything that you were into? Because you mentioned the art class and things like that. But what were you creatively inclined to before fashion?
I would just say like just like comics and stuff like that. I feel like that was really like, oh, we're really into Dragon Ball Z and stuff like that. So that was what me and my friends did. We drew Dragon Ball Z, same characters and stuff like that. I used to make like books because I was really into wrestling, so I would make books and like I would draw my favorite wrestlers and like just like have people like look at like my books. I'll take like the sheet of lined paper or whatever like that, make a nice little cover, draw all my favorite characters, staple it together and just take it with me and just show other people and stuff like that. I used to keep like binders or like this stuff. And I wish I still had it to this day, but we done moved around like six, seven, eight times, so all of that is gone. But it's just like that was what I was into. I was into like making like books and comic books and stuff like that. Like I didn't know how to do like comic strips and stuff like that. I just knew put the character on a page and move on.
All right, that's what's up. So, moving forward back to, pretty much where we're at today, when you're leaving high school, what did you have anything in mind that you wanted to do after high school? Because like you're in a real like I want to say like I want to call you like a curator, really. But what did you have any idea what you wanted to do? Did you think you were going to be in the position that you are today?
No, actually, I didn't even think close to it. I think one thing I didn't know what I wanted to do when it, when you get to like junior year of high school, that's when you should be planning out where you want to go to college, what you want your major to be, and what you want to do or whatever. When I got to junior year of high school, I didn't know anything I wanted to do. I was just like, oh, I'm trying to get through the school year, move on, or whatever like that. Then it comes time to college, and you got to plan out where you want to apply and stuff like that, official visits and stuff like that. And I was just like, I'm in over my head because one, I don't even know what I want to do. And two, like, I just grinded for 12 years. I don't really want to go to college. But it feels like it's something that I should do because we're ingrained as a society to take that next step, go to college and figure out what you want to do, like become a part of society. And I feel like I don't know if I felt like I was destined to do something bigger, but I was just like, I don't know what I want to do, so I don't want to waste my time doing like applying, figuring out where I want to go and stuff like that if I don't know what I really wanted to do. And I think like in high school, I was known also as like the sports guy, not really like playing sports, but like I knew everything. You feel me? I was really into like stats, all that. Like I knew players like the back of my hand. I knew route configurations and all that. I really knew like my stuff. So I was just like, oh, maybe one day I can make it on ESPN as a journalist. And you see how journalism is now. It's in a terrible place where everything is clickbait and people can't even keep jobs for after 5 months. So I'm kind of glad that that didn't work itself out. I had plans of, I went to like a college fair or whatever like that. And I had plans of like applying to go to Ball State because they had a really good journalism program at the time for broadcast journalism. And I remember I still have like my yearbook and stuff like that. And people just write in my yearbook, like, can't wait to see you on ESPN, my guy, and stuff like that. And I'm like, lo and behold, like, they follow me now on Instagram, but if they knew that back then what they knew now, they probably wouldn't even put that in my book. So I think it was just more so like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I couldn't figure it out. And I went to a military high school. So, like, my fallback plan was for me to go to the military or whatever like that. So I was just like, all right, cool. I graduated. I'm gonna go to the military. They gonna pay for my school because I didn't fill out the grants. I didn't do the scholarships because I didn't know what I wanted to do. But I was just like, I'm gonna go to the military, figure out what I want to do in there, go to college because they gonna pay for it or whatever like that. And we go from there. And it was like a lot of complications with trying to go to like the military because of like information I left out or whatever like that. Not information that I more so left out. It was just information that they didn't ask me and I didn't know that that was the essential like to it. Like they asked me if I had like therapy counseling or whatever like that, and I told them like, yeah, I did, but my recruiter never asked me about it. So I was just like, oh, like I'm telling them this and you didn't tell me that I'm not supposed to tell them that. So it was like I kind of basically got like the short end of the stick. I got shafted. I think I could have reapplied to go back in, but I was just like, I don't want to go through that process again. Like that was like a whole year of me like going back and forth with this recruiter trying to get like my paperwork pushed through and like seeing like other therapists so they can tell me like, yo, like you're good. You didn't really need counseling or whatever like that. What have you, like you're a smart kid, like you're ready to go. So I was just like, all right, I don't know what I want to do. And I was applying for a job at Rite Aid because I can't be at home not doing nothing. Like I gotta get to do something. So like I was applying for a job at Rady, and I remember doing a phone interview because that's what we used to do back then. did phone interviews, and in addition to like applying online, but for some reason they wanted me to do a phone interview, and they asked me, was I interested in furthering my education? I was like, no, not really, because I just did 12 years of high school. I didn't really want to go back to college immediately. I was like, I'll hear you out. So they invited me to an open house at the Art Institute, and I think I had chosen like video games as like my major, like video game programming or whatever like that. Okay, that's cool, whatever like that. I'll just go check it out, see what they're about. And I remember like one of my graphic design professors sort of loving me. I can't remember his name, but he was giving like he was telling people, he was like, yeah, like video games and all these other majors are cool, but like something that we're always going to need is marketing and design and stuff like that. So I feel like you guys should really like take that into consideration. The money is always going to be there for that, no matter what we do in life. There's always going to be a need for marketing. There's always going to be a need for a designer. So that's like when it clicked for me to switch my major and actually like go in there and learn something. And boom, the ball just started rolling from there. I started really, I refound my passion for art because I had been away from it for so long, and learning designs taught me like a new, like basically like a new realm of possibility through art. You feel me? Like this is digital art, whereas I was growing up doing a lot of physical art. So I got there, and that was just like all I was like completely sold on it, really tried to maximize it to my capabilities. And when I started making art, I was just like, oh, now like I can put this on clothes and stuff like that. I think I just like treated clothes as like another canvas, because I was just like, oh, I want to really do something with what I'm making. You feel me? I don't want to just make it, just sit on my computer. So I started putting on clothes, started wearing clothes, and I was just like, oh, well, I'm making clothes now, I'm making shirts. Maybe I should like find like the shoes that I've been wanting since I was growing up. I never really asked my mom for shoes. It's not like my mom couldn't afford the shoes that I wanted. I just didn't really care. Like I like shoes, but I didn't really care about what I wore. So now I'm like, oh, I can start chasing like the stuff that I actually like or whatever like that. Started wearing those. So I got the shoes, got the clothes, and then everything else just aligned from there. You feel me? Once I started making my own clothes, like that's when I started like really doing things how I do it now. And I feel like my attention to detail always came from one, my grandmom. She was a very detailed oriented person. And two, just like being able to like come from like a background of having like I said, all the resources that I needed at Girard, and then going to the Art Institute where they gave me even more resources that I needed.
Got you. Okay, so a couple of key points that I get out of that. So what year is it that you go into like the graphic design, marketing, advertising, educating or education that you got?
So I applied for that job at Rite Aid like 2015. I started college, like officially started with the graphic design, got past all like the FAFSA, whatever. I got through all that process. Like I started in April, so this month will be like my 8 year anniversary of that.
Okay.
So April of 2016.
And up until then, you still weren't really like putting it on, like putting your clothes on the way that you are now. No ditty.
No, sir. I can go to my Facebook and I was dressing terribly. I played 2014. I tried to step it up just because like I'm a senior in high school, and like I like women, so like I don't think girls really had a problem with how I dressed, but it was just like my mom was like pressing issues. She was like, yo, we gotta go to the mall, we gotta get you some good clothes and stuff like that, because you can't keep wearing blah 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 blah. I was just like, bro, like I don't really care, but if it look cool, then I'ma just wear it just because. So I think like also another thing is just like I was interested in women and I wanted to be like look better. So things just happened to work itself out. Like
Got you.
I was dressing in like Abercrombie shirts with like the threaded belts and like cargos and stuff like that, with basketball sneakers and stuff like that. That was all I wore. And then I feel like it really started to click for me and like, oh, I want to say like 2018. I feel like 2018 was really like when like I really started to like let go and really just start doing my thing, you feel me? Like I feel like 2018 it really started to take off for me.
Got you. Okay, so this is all imperative information because I have, I have some of your designs up from your brand here, and I don't want to neglect that. So I just want to at least shout out the brand once before we really get into it. Can you shout it out? Because I'm gonna say it wrong. Because I would have said it wrong if I was
The
before
name of
watching the podcast.
the brand is You Fresh C. You Fresh C. It's like a question. So YOU, the word fresh, FRESH, and CSEE. So it's like a question. I abbreviated it as U FRESHC and YFS. Because I really was into initials and stuff like that. So I think like coming about with the process with the name and stuff like that was I really liked how I wanted something. I was like studying like I was in college studying logos, USC, the Trojans, University of Southern California. And I liked it how USC sounded. I liked how USC's font work looked. So I was like, oh, UFC, YFS, like that kind of like works for me. I like the three letter abbreviation, so I can work with that or whatever. And also felt like it was cool to like do something differently, like how the name can just be the name itself. And then also like when I want to start doing things a little bit differently and spelling out the full sentence, now I got two designs and a tuck right there just off the name alone. So I wanted like that versatility with the name. And also I feel like seven letters is like really perfect when it comes to like designing because you have three on one side, three on the other side, and one word straight down the middle. And you can do a lot with that when it comes to like designing and spacing. So
Is that now that's pretty smart. Is that something that you learned in school or something that you kind of just figured out on your own?
that's something I figured out tinkering with Photoshop.
Okay. And when it comes to the brand, when I'm looking at the website, when I'm looking at the Instagram page for You Fresh C, I see there's a few things that are on sale now, but the Instagram page has a little bit more, but I see a lot of things that have like a vintage feel to it, like a early 1990s feel to some of the shirts. And then some like this joint right here looks like a bracelet. Like, so pretty
The
much
charm bracelet, that was my the charm bracelet is my 5 year anniversary design. I don't think I made one for this year. I should have, but I just wasn't in like a designing mode this year, so I won't force myself to do something if I'm not really there, 'cause it'll make my art trash.
Okay, so you started the brand. If it was 5 years last year, you started the brand just a few years out of school.
Yeah, I actually started my senior year of college. Like, I
Okay,
only got my
that's
associates. I'll call it my senior year, but I only got my associates in graphic design. So that was like my last year of like the required program.
got you. And this is the thing, the correlation between your brand and school. So, of course, you're going to learn some of the essentials that you need to survive, to hold down a job, so on and so forth. But in discovering your own style when it comes to You Fresh C, like how did you come up with some of your designs, some of your ideas, and the direction that you want to go with the brand?
I feel like a lot of it is taking inspiration from things that I actually liked while studying in school and also just things that I like in life personally. So I'll go through like some of my designs, like the charm bracelet. I thought that was like a really good one just because like I'm into jewelry now, where I like jewelry as a kid and stuff like that. But I was just like, we grow up, your mom get you like a nice little chain, and that's what you got. You feel me? That was like my thing or whatever like that. So now I think like wanting to think of it from like a more intricate perspective, I feel like the charm bracelet was perfect. It combines all the things that I like, combines my brand, the puzzle pieces, which is representative of one, autism awareness, an important cause to me, and also just like my brand's logo and branding in general. The giraffe, which was one of my most popular designs, from like I want to say around like 2019, that was just like something that I had no plans for it to do so well that wound up being a staple just because people loved it so much. So it's just stuff like that. Like you don't really like try to look for things. Things kind of like just find you. I also, when I was in school, I studied a lot of like 80s guests just because like George Marciano was like my favorite graphic designer from when he's one of the co-founders, I guess, but he was just like my favorite guy to like really like research and look at designs from like his late 80s line, early 90s. And Nutmeg Mills was another person I covered in the Keeping It a Bean podcast because he made great sportswear in the 90s. So those are like just like my two biggest inspirations. And I wanted to do something that really kind of like connected what I'm doing in the modern day to what they did at the time and just like kind of infuse that together.
Where do you plan on going next with the clothing brand?
That's something I haven't figured out just because like I'm not sure what I want to do with it. I haven't really been in a designing mood because I feel like that was just what I built my identity around before I got to this point. Like fresh out of college, like all I was a designer, designer, designer. I didn't really make room for anything else, and that's all I did. So a lot of like the last 2 to 3 years has just been me like branching out, trying to figure out what's really for me and trying to touch every other avenue of art so that I can become a more well-rounded person. Like I really wanted to get more so into photography and videography. I wanted to learn more about styling. I wanted to model more, you feel me? I didn't want to just like make clothes and wear my clothes and model my clothes and stuff like that. I want to model for other brands. I want to do brand ambassadorship.
And in your Instagram bio, it kind of tells that story as well,
It
because it
reads
shows
just
that
like
you're,
it.
yeah, it shows that you're a collaborator. It shows that you do some stuff for, do some photography work. Yeah, so let's talk about some of these other things because, one thing about Mean Hendrix is he's the jack of all trades, master of
Master
none,
of
but he's
all.
working on
No,
master of
master
all at
of
this point.
all. Master of all.
Master of all at this point, because it the output of a lot of these things that I see from you look very efficient. They look high quality. So let's talk about you branching out in some of the other things that we're not just attaching you to your clothing brand. So let's talk photography because you did mention that before, and it I kind of got the feel that you go back with photography.
So photography was one thing that I really wanted to learn. What I want to say, during the pandemic, no, this was before the pandemic. This was when I was in high school. I seen like this lady, honestly, I feel like this is me biting, but I seen this lady, she was doing like wedding photography and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh, like I can buy a camera, I can do with that. Like how a lot of people think that they can do photography, you just buy a camera, you just go out there and shoot and stuff like that. So I was definitely one of those people who were just like, oh, I see how this lady is doing that, so I can do it too. And maybe I can feed myself through this as a hobby. And it didn't really go like that because I bought like a crappy Nikon. My Nikon was good, but it wasn't great. It was just like, oh, I got this cheap model for like $100. I got me a nice, cool little lens, but I don't really know how to work the camera. And this model was like, it's a refurbished model. This is a model they don't even make anymore. I'm like a couple generations back trying to figure out how to get to the quality that I'm seeing from the people that I'm studying or whatever like that. So it took me like kind of failing at that initially for me to really like when I came back to it in college, just wanting to re-tap back into that. Now that I have like a better idea of what I want to do, a better eye for what I'm seeing or whatever like that, for me to really like get better at it. And I think I do really well with digital. I don't like do like photo shoots. Like I don't like really like it's not really something that I eat off of. You feel me? See, like all the stuff that I post on Seafoam Archive is really just me going out and about and just capturing stuff like that and documenting it just because that's something that I want to have for later to look back on. What if I need it for reference?
Yeah, photography is not an easy field to get into.
It's not, it's just one that looks easy because the people who are amazing at it make it look tremendously easy. And there, I have to give a shout out to a couple of my friends, Quan, the Lost 96er. He really does like most of my photo shoots at Labstone. Ethan White, he did my first original photo shoot at Labstone for the John Elliott ad and the Nike ad. Love those guys to death. Also, Kay Torrance, we went to high school together. She's an amazing photographer, and she finally came out of retirement last year. And one of her first shoots was covering like a reel I did for Advisory Board Crystals for Labstone. Like I did like a partnership reel right there, and I told her I was just like, just pull up, bring your camera, and just get your feet wet. You feel me? Like you come around, you take shots. Like it wasn't something that like she had to do or I had to do for her. I was just like, I want her around. I made sure it was okay with the social media guy and everything like that. And I was just like, yo, like I want her to be here. Can she shoot with us and stuff like that? And we just went from there. And if I think it is still pinned to my account, if it's not, then I'll have to find it. But my advisory board crystals like photo shoot with me wearing the work sucks shirt and the towel, the scarf on my head, like that was all her hard work and editing. So definitely gotta give her a shout out. She's amazing.
Shout out to the
And
guys. Oh yeah, shout out to Kay Torrance.
Sunny too. Sunny, that boy can work a film camera.
Yeah. Shout out to the folks, man, and shout out to Kay Torrance. I'm looking at the joint you did for Advisory Board Crystals right now. So shout out to them folks, man, because that is not an easy from taking the picture to taking a good picture to the editing and Lightroom, Adobe, whatever you use. That stuff is they get paid accordingly, and
And
they get paid.
even my stuff on Seafoam Archive, like I'm editing that like straight off the phone. And I feel like even like the work I'm doing, I feel like it's nice, but there is always room for improvement. I'm way better than I was in 2016, but hey, I still got a ways to go.
Yeah, that's one of those things like you have to get into it to realize how difficult it is.
Yeah.
So that's the photography game, and you were able to model. Now, I'm gonna tell y'all something too. Modeling ain't easy either.
Oh, hard. It's incredibly hard. You don't know how to pose, and they try to. If you don't have a person who knows direction with these shoots either, it'll come out looking clunky because if neither one of y'all know what y'all doing, then it's not going to be a good result. And I think like I'm a person who really like knows what feels natural to me. So whenever I model or do anything related to that, I just be me, get comfortable doing like the poses that I do all the time. Like I know like what looks good, what angle to hit myself. You feel me? I know how to tell people how to shoot me now. So it's just like it took like me figuring it out for myself for me to figure it out in those shoots, like where to stand, how to stand, what to do. And I'm always open to like creative direction too. Like I don't just like sit there and dictate how all my photo shoots go. I really try to listen and collaborate with the people that I work with because we all have our best interests at heart. We're all going to put our name on this. We all got to make sure like we step accordingly.
What made you really want to get into modeling?
I think more so that like I was putting on like a pretty like decent, like I was putting together some pretty decent fits and stuff like that. And really, I just wanted to be seen for it. You feel me? Like I really wanted to be seen for like the things that I do. So it was more so like a recognition thing that I'd hope to attain to get closer to my dreams. You feel me? So I didn't know like how to get there. Like I didn't know what to do to get in those spaces, so I would just continue to like take my pictures, really dress it up, and that's like why my Instagram looks the way it does. Like I'm posting like once or twice a week just because like I love to get dressed. You feel me? And it was just coming from a standpoint of, oh, I'm doing this. I'm putting a lot of effort into what I'm doing and my details and stuff like that. So now I want people to see it from the perspective of how I make it, not just how I put it on.
Got you. I was gonna say, I asked that question because being in front of a camera can be a little bit nerve-wracking. And did you deal with any sort of anxiety, when you really got into it, when you're having somebody else shoot you?
No. So my thing too was like I didn't take like a lot of pictures and stuff like that. It took me hitting like rock bottom with my depression in like 2019 for me to really like wake up a different person, you feel me? And I won't say I still don't go through like my depressive bouts and stuff like that, but I think after like seeing like what the lowest of my personal low looked like, I wanted to document every single day that I felt good about myself, you feel me? And even days that I don't feel good about myself now, I still document it because this is something I'll never get back. I'll be like, oh, I don't know what I was like before 2019, but I know once I hit like this benchmark now, I'm happier now. I'm starting to dress a little bit better. I can see like the progression and everything that I do just because like I decided to take that step and really just, you feel me, capture all the moments where I did feel good about myself. And then it just blossomed from me doing it every day and it coming naturally. So when I got in front of a camera, it wasn't any different than what I was already doing. I think also too, like I don't think about it as much because usually when it comes to a photo shoot, it's really just you, the photographer, and whoever else may be part of like the team for it. It's a small crowd, so I'm not really thinking of it like, oh, I'm in front of like 70,000 people or blah 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 blah, because really I'm just in the audience of like five. So like I'm comfortable with the people that I know, and I can just like go ahead and do my thing. You feel me? I think I would look at it different if I was sitting in like a room full of people and they were staring at me, but it's really no different than me being at Labstone, setting up my tripod and taking pictures of people just walking by, getting in the way. So.
Got you. That's interesting to know because I know for myself, even if it's just like my wife and I taking fit pics, like I feel awkward. Like I feel like I don't belong there. You know what I mean? Like I
So
don't know how to
yeah,
pose.
so definitely like that too. Like that's another thing. Like sometimes like I feel it and sometimes I don't, you feel me? I feel like one thing that I try to tell myself is I don't have to see these people. They don't know me. So once this is done, like once I'm done taking a picture, like it's not like I'm gonna run into this person and be like, hey, remember when you took that picture over there? Like that since I've been taking pictures, that has never happened to me. Like people have never came back and be like, oh, I remember when you took that picture there and stuff like that. Like it's just something that we just think too hard about because like it's awkward. It is very awkward, you feel me? But it's just like at the end of the day, like nobody actually cares. That's another thing like you have to tell yourself is that
Facts.
nobody actually cares. If I see somebody taking a picture, I'm gonna keep walking, I'm gonna walk around, I'm like, oh, she's taking a picture. Oh, whatever, big deal. Like that has no effect on my everyday life or what I'm doing.
That's a fact though. That's a fact 'cause just like you said, you'll walk past somebody like they're taking a picture. But when it comes to yourself
When it
or
comes to yourself, you'll
personally
be like,
myself,
damn,
it's
I feel like
like
everybody's looking at me.
exactly. So I just want to now I don't want to keep you too long. I definitely want to talk about your personal style because when I see your fits and all that stuff, I'm like, dude really knows what he's doing. But just to before we get into that, on some real stuff, like you talked about 2019 having like some depression, and you don't have you could explain as much or as little as you want, but a lot of people experience like depression during the pandemic. So to hear 2019 before the world shut down, it made me wonder, what was your experience like? But not just that. How did you get out? How did you get help?
Okay, so I feel like I'm very open about like the things that I was going through because I don't really feel like I was going through Like, I feel like it was very important to me what I was going through, but I don't feel like I was going through anything like super traumatic that will really like shake the foundation of myself if I tell it again. But 2019, like, I was just going through like a lot at the same time. Like, I had my girlfriend broke up with me or whatever like that, and she had like a new boyfriend, so I was really like beat down about that. I think one of my friends had passed away at the time. I can't remember if it was my friend or if it was like my great grandmom, because it was just like so close together. That happened. I lost my job at Buffalo Exchange, which was really important to me because that was helping me get through my breakup, because I was going to work every day and I love the people that I work with. And I feel the same way about like me working at Labstone. I look forward to working at Labstone because I love the people that I work with. And that was what I had at Buffalo Exchange. And that helped me, like, not really, like, I wasn't over my breakup, but like that was something that got me out of bed. Is like, I look forward to seeing the people that I worked with, and you feel me? And I didn't have that anymore. So it was like I was going through that alone. So it was like a struggle for me to find like another job and stuff like that. So being as though like I'm like one of those people who struggles to ask for help, like I didn't really like want to ask anybody for help. So it's just like I didn't know how I was going to feed myself every night. I was just making like designs and stuff, like putting on shirts, hoping people would buy it so I'd be able to buy myself something to eat and stuff like that. And I was in the house every day because I don't have a job. So I'm in the house every day for like 3 months, like an entire summer, just doing nothing but like watching TV and like making designs, hoping that somebody will buy this stuff or whatever like that. And I don't think I came out on the other side of it until like I was able to find like a job. Once I was able to find a job, I worked at Kohl's for like a month, just doing like overnight stock and shipment and stuff like that. And I feel like that really helped me get into the groove, because like I'm a productive person. That's the only thing I know. I only know how to like work hard. I might complain, but I'm gonna get it done. But just like having something that I actually could do every day besides being in my house, like that's really what got me out of it, was like, wake up. I really got to do something about my situation. I can't just sit here doing nothing. So I think getting that job at Kohl's really was like my step out of it. And I didn't really like the job because I hated unloading the truck, but it was a really chill job that like I was just like, I gotta do this in the meantime till I figure something out. So I think I did that for like a month, and then like the ice skating rink, whatever, came back around because it's a seasonal thing that I've been doing for like years or whatever like that. So that came around, I was just like, yeah, I'm quitting this job at Kohl's. I'm gonna put my all and effort into like doing this ice skating rink thing for the next few months, stack my checks over, whatever like that. And then once I come out on the other side, I can't go back to what I was doing there. It gotta be something different. I gotta really like take advantage of like this space and this momentum that I'm creating. So definitely I feel like 2020 was going my way. I feel like I had a great 2020. Everybody else was depressed and everything, like upset about quarantine and stuff like that. I love quarantine personally, you feel me? 'Cause I didn't look at it like I thought quarantine was going to harm me, like harm my mental the same way like being in the house in 2019 did. But it was more so like a thing like, oh, this is not my fault that I'm in this house every day. Me not being productive isn't a result of my own being. It's just that this is the state of the world. So I don't have to blame myself for this. Whereas in 2019, the only thing I could do was blame myself because I felt like those were my circumstances that had to be fixed. So once I came out on that, from the other side of like the rink, like I started working at Journeys, and then lo and behold, step by step, I got to where I am now.
So check this out. So I want to ask if you ever, thought about this or reflected on it. What did you learn, about yourself? Because it seemed like overcoming, a lot of different obstacles, a lot of things that could beat you down mentally. But it seems like you got out of that. What did you learn about yourself, or what did you learn in general through that time?
So I wanna say personally, I don't feel like I learned much about myself. I honestly felt like I picked up a really bad habit which is to force myself to grind through situations just because I'm forcing myself to grind through situations because it's a trauma response to not wanting to go back to there. I never want to go back to where I was in 2019, so I don't care how many jobs I have, 3 jobs right now. I don't care how many jobs I have. I don't care how many projects I gotta do. I don't care how much I put on my plate. I want to get it done because I don't want to go back there. So while it may look good, it may look like I'm being very productive and I'm doing so many amazing things, realistically, it's the result of me not wanting to go back to when I didn't have these opportunities and not being in the position that I am now. You feel me? I feel like I didn't really learn much from not being down. It's just that the biggest thing to me was never going back to where it was. And it can be looked at as a positive, but sometimes I look at myself when days were like I'm really like stressed out, beaten down, and exhausted from working like so long. I've worked every day this week, all 7 days. Not really like it doesn't really bother me, but like at the end of this week, I know I'm going to crash hard because I'm like, oh, there's money to be made. This is a time for me to do it. I might as well do it while I got it. Because I'm going to Atlanta in like 2 weeks. So I'm like, oh, I know that's money I don't want to miss out on. And that's all I'm thinking about. I'm not even thinking about all the fun I'm going to have in Atlanta. I'm thinking about the days I'm going to miss working because that's coming off of my paycheck. You feel me? And that's just the negativity that I don't want to live with, but I know it's what keeps the fire burning within me to get better so I don't have to think about it. You feel me? I feel like I'm pushing myself so hard so that I get to a point where this is something that I don't have to worry about later, but I'm worrying about it for right now because I don't want to be there.
Yeah, you're a real hustler, man. I could That's apparent from your IG. Like you're at Lapstone, you're at Macy's, you're at the skating rink. You're always you're out. And that just takes a toll. It takes a toll. So, at least you're honest with yourself. I'm not a psychologist, psychiatrist, or a counselor, but at least you're honest with yourself and can realize, it is a positive to have a work ethic, to have, to have a real. You can't teach work ethic. That's a fact. There could be somebody in your same position doing nothing because they don't got they don't you know like people say they don't got that dog in them. So, it is a positive, but just at the end of the day, balance. Like it's hard to find balance in certain things, but okay. So we're gonna end this with talking about your fashion sense because like the way you be putting the joints together, like certain outfits. Let me just ask you this first question. How long does it take for me to pick out an outfit from the shirt to the fitted to the pins on the fitted to the jewelry?
It depends. Honestly, I can basically go like, oh, I don't know what hat I wanted to wear with this shirt, so I'm gonna pick this shirt out and just build my fit from that because I haven't figured out what hat I want to wear with it when I don't have my haircut. So honestly, it depends on the mood I'm in. Sometimes like I got things figured out like days in advance. Sometimes like I'll like see like I'll put like something like I'll put together a combination and figuring out what I want to wear for that day and be like, oh, I don't want to wear this today. I want to save this for another day. And that's basically like how like that cycle continues for me. So sometimes like I'll just wake up in the morning and I don't know what I'm going to wear and I won't decide until 15 minutes before it's time for me to leave. But sometimes it just comes together like that. I think what pins I put on my hat basically is based off what the rest of the fit looks like. All my hats, like all my pins coordinate with whatever the fit looks like. So if I feel like I'm going to wear like gold jewelry or something like that, my gold pins are going to go on that hat or whatever like that. Try to match up colors and stuff like that just to see like how the designs look. So it's really like it's so many ways that you can do it. You could build it through the shirt, you could build it through the pants, you could build it through the shoes, you could do it through the hat. I feel like there's not one specific formula to how I do anything. It's just like I'll wake up with an idea or I'll look through all three of my drawers of shirts or I'll look through my bins and I'll be like, oh, maybe this might go with that, and I'll just go from there and figure it out. It's kind of like once I get like a little inkling of an idea, I can like fully flesh it out if I just sit and think about it for a minute.
Got you. And how did your style develop through the years?
Money. You get more money. When you get more money, you have the ability to get more things. And I think that too is just like, I stopped going from thinking about things of how to build my wardrobe, like just buying like a full fit. Like that was a lot of things that I did. And a lot of things that people do is they'll buy like a full fit at the same time instead of just acquiring pieces over time. Like I remember like in 2015, 2016, like I just had like full polo suits and I'm like, oh, I can wear this like regularly, but like I can't like, you feel me? I got to do something different. Like I can't just wear the low with the low all the time. Like maybe I can wear it with something else. You feel me? And I think that was just like a thing that really like pushed me is like just starting to acquire pieces. So now I never buy like a full fit. If I buy like a full fit, it's probably coming from like Fashion Nova and I need it for like something quick. Like I went to a wedding in Oklahoma last year and I just got like a Boohoo Man like linen sweatsuit or something like that. And that's about the only use I have for it. Like, and even that, like I'll take that and incorporate it into my style. I wore the pants for a while until I accidentally bleached them, but I'll still wear like the shirt with like a cardi or something like that. I feel like it's better to acquire the pieces because now like I have so much stuff in my closet that I don't even worry about what I buy. Like I don't worry about if I get some shoes, I don't worry about like, oh, I don't have anything that'll go with this. If I buy a hat, I don't think about, oh, I don't have anything that goes with this because I know I have an assortment of colors, fits and styles that it doesn't matter. I'm going to figure it out. I can literally picture like everything that I have in my closet right now. Like I have like kind of like a photographic memory. I may not know exactly where it's at, but I know that I have it and I know if I don't have it.
So this is the thing though. So dudes could have some bread. You know, there's a lot of these rappers got bread, but they can't dress.
You know, it's a tweet that reminds me of that. It's like all these dudes are like corn dogs, weenies with bread. And like that's exactly what they are. They don't know. I think one thing that is important to me, and I'm saving this for, you're getting the exclusive because I was saving this for my Fits from the Street interview whenever he finds me, because he's going to find me. I know him like on a personal level now. Like, we're kind of cool. But whenever Fits from the Streets finally finds me and does my interview, one thing he always asks people is, when you think about style, what's one word that comes to mind? Well, what comes to mind or what's one word that comes to mind? And my answer is going to be identity. A lot of people don't have an identity in fashion. They don't know themselves. They're too busy following behind what's the hottest trend or how their homies dress, how they're going to put that together, what's hot in the streets. Like a lot of people wearing Asics and stuff like that because they see other people wearing Asics and stuff like that, not because they actually like it or whatever like that. They like it because it's what's hot. When people move off of it, they're going to be like, man, that's not hot anymore. That's corny now. You feel me? Because people don't have that identity. I'm not going to be one of those people. I don't have Asics because I see everybody else is wearing them or whatever like that. I wear it because I like shoes. You feel me? I like comfort. But a lot of people don't know themselves, so therefore it reflects in their style. They don't know what to wear. They don't know what they like. You feel me? You can only wear black and white so many times until you actually start to get to know yourself. Mm-hmm. Black and white is just like the cop-out. It's like the cheat code. You can wear, not saying anything against you because you're wearing black and white right now, but it's just like...
No offense taken.
That's everybody's default setting because black and white provides so much versatility. You feel me? It's a neutral combo that you can put on with anything. So I want black. I can wear black with red. I can wear black with white. I can wear black with blue, black with green, black with yellow, white with yellow, white with red, white with green, white with blue. You feel me? Like they don't want to step too far out of that realm of neutralism because they're afraid to take that risk. Me, I was once like that, but now I live in color. That's the only thing I know how to do is put things together in color because I feel like if I don't take that risk and actually try this, then I won't know what I like.
Facts. Now check this out because this is the thing. If you go on Yellow Puffer Coat Instagram, he's not just all talk, because I want to let y'all know something. This is the thing. Whatever is hot right now, like there's a lot of different trends and everything like that. You're not following the trends, and you do a lot. This is how I would describe your style. You would do a lot without doing too much. Like you'll have a lot going on, but you're not overdoing it. It's not overbearing.
I have figured out the art of subtlety, because that's the thing that's really missing, especially when it comes to like people who wear jewelry. Everything just has to be matted out, iced out, chains and stuff like that. I've never been that type of person. I may be that person when I get enough money, but I've never been that type of person. You feel me? I feel like people don't know subtlety. Like, you gotta know what, coordination is everything. But when I see people coordinate, like, they're not even like coordinating properly. They're just like, oh, I got this, and it might go with that. So I'm gonna just, you know, I got my color palette of orange, brown, and white. That's what people think coordination is just finding like three general colors and working from a color palette. That's not really like, that is a form of coordination, but that's not really like making it. I don't know what the word, what I want to say, what word I'm trying to get to, but you feel me? There's so much more you can do than just finding like two or three colors that work with each other and just dressing it up from there, because you're still too focused on the neutralism of having like a white color in there or a brown earth tone in there.
Take notes, y'all. And this all goes back to what you were talking about. The homie that's going to eventually run into you on the street. Does he say what is style? And you say identity. That's what you're going to tell him. Identity. Yeah. A lot of these folks. It's like I was watching some YouTube video on the state of fashion content, and a lot of these little street interviews, a lot of people who all dress the same say, oh, you just gotta be yourself, you just gotta woo, man, shut up, because you're being somebody else.
Oh my god, bro, everybody, oh god, the word pretentious always comes to mind when I think about stuff like that, because I'm like, that's not even you. Like, I've seen so many of these interviews where they're all like dressed the same, they got on like these super baggy clothes, they're wearing all black or something like that, they got on like Capital or something like that, Y3, Deadly Souls, whatever brand you want to make up or whatever like that, and they all dress in the same font. Like that's one of my things too. Me and my friends, we're all the same person but in different fonts. But when I see people dress, I feel like they all dress in the same font, they just use different colors for their typefacing.
Dog, talk to him. And I'm glad to have like a, and I'm gonna label you as a real fashion head. Like, I dip and dabble in it. I wouldn't consider myself a fashion head or none of that stuff. So like, this is a form of validation for myself, because I be having these opinions, but it's like, you know, people might look at me and say, what are your qualifications?
This is somebody who's qualified. That's another thing. That's also very pretentious to me, because nobody is too fashionable or unfashionable to have an opinion on anything. Now, me, when I see people who get like, when I see people who err the side of being too negative about something fashion related, and then I think about like, how do you dress? That's when I start to think about like, what makes your thought so much better than what they think? You feel me? Why does everything have to be perceived as hating if you don't like something? I don't like erring too far on the side of caution, because everything is so black and white to people. There isn't any nuance. There isn't a gray area to people. It's either you feel one way or you feel the other way. And nobody's ever really like qualified on this. Like, you can have like so many accolades and everything like that, but everything in art is completely subjective. Everybody's not going to like everything. Everybody's not going to hate everything. You feel me? You can hope that everybody likes what you do, and that's something that I do. I hope that everybody likes what I do. And then there's going to be somebody who thinks what I'm wearing is corny, and I'll be like, wow, well, what did I do to you? You feel me? What makes you qualified to tell me that what I'm wearing is corny? You're not me. You don't dress like me. You can't tell me what to put on. I've been doing this longer than you, blah, 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 such and such. But I'll never approach it like that. I'll probably be like, well, we all got like our own opinions. I don't really care what you think. Like, that's not going to, I'm like, oh wow, this user 222 on Twitter thinks I'm corny, so I must be corny or something like that. Like, I'll be like snide with my remark or something like that. Or I'll just be like, well, who are you supposed to be? You can't tell me how to dress.
So, identity. I love that. I love that. Like I'm that's one thing that I 100% take away from this interview. Like one of the things that I instantly take away from this interview is the point in identity. And I think, and this is the thing, like, I hate this. I hate to say this, but, you know, I'm not like, I'm not like glazing. I'm like telling the truth. Like I 100% believe that you have an authentic style that is fashionable and separates itself from the trends of today. Even if you did do something or wear a piece that participates in said trend, i.e. ASICS, but that's something that you've always been into just as a sneakerhead. So I appreciate it, man. We could, if you have any last words on just anything, on your style, on fashion,
first of all, fitted. I definitely have something to say. I never want anyone giving me my flowers to be perceived as glazing, because I feel like that's something, like, the respect of my peers is something that I actually work for. Like I said, art is a subjective medium that everybody has an opinion on. They may have a difference of opinion and everything like that. So I do work hard so that I can get the positive feedback, also the negative, so I know where to improve on. But I do actually work for that validation from my peers. You feel me? I may not always, I don't think it's something that, like, I won't say I don't care about what people think. I care to an extent of me wanting to better myself. I don't care from an extent of someone who doesn't like me, doesn't like the way I'm doing things, and I'm going to change how I do things. You feel me? So I think, like, another thing, like, it's very important to give people their flowers, and I'm always open to receiving my flowers. I mean, I know how to take a compliment. I might work around, explain how things are, but it definitely makes me feel good when people recognize how hard I work. That's the only thing that, I won't say that's the only thing that really, like, motivates me to do what I do, but it's a pretty good, like, indicator of how far I've come with my progression. And I don't really have anything, like, to say as far as, like, fashion and stuff like that. I could do, like, the cliche, be yourself and do thing, you feel me? Like, everybody just be yourself, blah, 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 blah. But really, like, try. That's my biggest thing. If you really want to do this fashion thing, I feel it's important that you do seek out, like, just look for what you like, you feel me? Do your research, you feel me? Even if you got to spend all day on Pinterest and Depop, Instagram, whatever like that, until you find a piece you really like, see how other people do it. I take my inspiration from other people too. You feel me? Mm-hmm. I got my fit plan for Sunday is, like, I got the Wales Bonner Sambas and I'm wearing it with my jersey, but I don't know what pants to wear. So I'm on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I look up Wales Bonner. I go to, like, pictures that they're tagged in, and I see how normal people who tag Wales Bonner in their comments dress up the Samba, so I could be like, oh, maybe that works for me. Oh, I see, like, this color with that pant, with that shoe. Maybe I might work it with that. You feel me? Like, it's never a thing where, like, you can't be inspired. That's what fashion and art is all about, is being inspired by other people to do things, like, your own way. So my thing to everyone is just to try. You feel me? Try to figure out what you like. And don't be afraid to take that risk. If the fit comes out trash, don't take it. Don't post any pictures. Like, it's not like nobody has a gun to your head and it's forcing you to post a trash fit. Just figure out if you like it or not.
There you go. Mean Hendrix in the building. You could catch him out there in Philly, North Philly, Lapstone and Hammer, and at the other hustles that he does. You can catch him on the Keep It a Bean podcast, the podcast that I watched, like, your first episode. Apparently you're going to be coming back, so we got to come back for some hot takes.
I'm really, because
he got
I'm
a
ready.
Lot of opinions.
I'm so, ready. I'll do this. Like, I honestly, I will never see myself as a podcast person, but anytime you want to have me as a guest, I'm down for it. You feel me? I said the same thing to Marquise. Like, I don't really, like, do these things. Like, nobody really asked me to do these things. And I feel like it's always fun to really, like, connect with the people in your community, you feel me? Like, no matter, like, what medium space it is, it's always good to connect with the people who do, like, love and respect you, you feel me? And Marquise has been somebody who has always given me my flowers. Anytime he has seen me, anytime he sees me posting on the timeline on Twitter where I'm a menace, he's always, like, he's always giving me my respect. And that's something, like, you can't really, like, put a price on. Like, that's something I value really strongly.
Shout out to Keith, man. So this is the Cool Hand Podcast, and definitely we could tap back in the future, because I do like you know, the your opinions on even Kid Cudi. Like, yeah. You know, I like you bringing some of the points that you did out. So and Post Malone too, but we were more on the same page with Post than Kid Cudi. So it's good to hear different perspectives. So yeah, we could tap back in the future, man. And if I'm ever in that area again, last time I tapped in with Sonny, but you know, maybe next time, you know, we could have a little round table if we come out there again. So
absolutely. I would love to. I definitely, like, one thing too, like, after, like, you told me that you did a podcast or whatever, like the day that I met you, I watched your episode with Sonny, and I watched the episode with I think, did you do one with Devin from Zoomin' Live, or you did one with Peas?
Yeah. I think I watched, I did the one Devin. With both of them.
Okay, so I think I did the Devin interview. I feel like that was the one I remember off the top of my head, and I really liked the way, like, you really, like, you're really fully immersed in what you do, so you're asking the right questions. You're not just asking things just to ask things.
Oh, sure. Hey, appreciate it. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing, or I stutter.
But, hey, man. We all stutter. This is not easy. I've stumbled over my words like this entire time we've been doing this, but eventually the point gets out.
Facts. This is the Cool Hand Podcast, man. Mean Hendrix, man. I appreciate you for coming on the podcast.
No, thank you for having me.
That's a big deal. So we'll definitely have to run this back, because I can think of some stuff that I should have asked already. So till next time, Cool Hand Podcast, something you got to deal with.
See you.